Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Wherever and whenever you're listening, it's probably beer o'clock, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you right here on the podcast starting right now.
Welcome back into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thank you guys so much for listening. As promised, we are here for another week of beer talk and beer drinking. And, you know, just trying to keep some sort of a normal schedule for you guys out there who are dealing with coronavirus, just like we all are dealing with coronavirus.
I call it the vid.
The vid?
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of, like, the HIV, but...
Well, that took a turn. We've started calling the shows the COVID casts. We've done 20 COVID casts, which is shows without sports that are on TV. And now the over-under is 80 COVID casts. Are we going to be over or under 80 until sports comes back? I said over.
This is for primetime?
Yes. I said over because...
Over 80?
That would be 60 more, which would be get us to the start of July. I think we're going to go more towards August or September.
I think that's a fair thing. Fair way to put it.
Yeah.
Fair estimate.
So COVID casts. Estimate. But yeah, we're all out here dealing with the things you guys are dealing with in some way, shape, or form. Maybe not to the same extreme or to the same level, but none of us can do anything. So we can go home.
Yeah.
And then we can go to work if we can still go to work. And then we can go home.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can stay home. And then we can go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And then we can go home.
Right. I was at the grocery store yesterday. I waited in line, but it was a nice day. It was I live by the New Seasons in Arbor Lodge. So it was fine. You know, there was probably 10 people in front of me in line. I probably waited outside 10, 15 minutes. But I'll tell you what, when you get into the grocery store, it's quite nice because there's nobody around.
Oh, yeah. I went to New Seasons in Cedar Hills in mm-hmm. Beaverton on Sunday. I waited in line.
Yeah.
There's like 5 people in line. And once you go in, it's like you have free reign of the supermarket.
Totally.
It's just like you want to go up to the pre-made cabinet. Here it is for you.
Yep.
Oh, there's one person. 6 feet, 6 feet, yep. 6 feet. Okay.
Yeah. So
have you had trouble social distancing at all? Have you found yourself like trying to be good about it and struggling with it?
No, I'm okay with it. I think it, like the whole concept of social distancing like really hit me fairly easy because of work. That I think because it's like a health thing. Sorry, let me turn my chair. So
as
I
you move slightly
see
further,
see you
away
in
from
the
me.
Face.
also extending to what is now probably 8 feet. I think we were already 6 feet apart.
I think it like. It was really easy. Like when the CDC came out and they were like, these are the things you need to say for, these are the things you need to do to stay healthy. I was like, well, we kind of already do that in the restaurant biz, like keeping our, like washing our hands, try not to touch your face, things like that. And, you know, don't get all up in people's bubbles. So that was kind of easy. So then when the 6 foot thing kind of happened, it just integrated into that fairly easy for me. The only issue I run into is sometimes, I haven't really seen this at the grocery store, but I see this sometimes when I'm at work. There are still people out there that are just fairly oblivious and they just kind of like I've had some bros come in, you know, with some tank tops and some shorts and some flip-flops trying to get some beers, bruh.
Yeah.
And like the three of them are all standing super close to each other, which is like, whatever, you know, maybe you live together or something like that, that the quarantine, you know, you're already hosed anyway because you live together. Maybe I get it. But no regard for anybody else. Like one guy was like looking in the beer cooler, trying to see what he wanted. You know, he was by himself and he had his face covered and very polite, you know, average dude looking to pick up a beer in the vid 20. And he And he was looking, and he kind of stepped back, and this guy just instantly cut, like, right in front of him to grab a beer out of the bottle. And the guy was like, whoa, and kind of stepped back a little bit. So I see some of that from some people, which is a little disheartening.
I'm not sure if that's necessarily done with malicious intent.
I don't think it is either.
I think oblivious is a good word. I just think sometimes, I mean, you're not used to having to be that way, right? Mm-hmm. You're not used to having to social distance. So if you're like, if your mind is elsewhere, you might just do something accidentally. Because I did this once at the supermarket.
Yeah.
I've been generally very good about trying to give space. Mm-hmm. I've been going out running because it's the only thing you can do because no gyms are open. And like, if there's another person out there, I'll scoot into the street or in the shoulder. If
I've seen a lot of that, yeah.
Just to give space. But in the supermarket once, I was like in my own head thinking of the list, trying to find the food in the aisle. And I just kind of turned into the aisle without realizing it. And there was a woman with her cart right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tight aisle. And I realized about halfway into trying to fit next to her, I went, oh, I shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
But I was in my head,
mm-hmm.
and I just didn't think about it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where we as people are just so often in our own head
mm-hmm.
that it's hard to break that habit 100%.
Yeah, I usually listen to music when I'm at the grocery store because I usually do like a big run. I'm not the kind of person that does small runs, which is funny because I like order less beer more frequently for the pub. But when I go to the grocery store, I try to load up.
Mm.
Anyway.
I do this. I go once a week and I just get everything for the week.
Yeah. Mm. And so I've kind of noticed, where was I going with this? I've kind of noticed that as well. Like some things are just a little unavoidable. I was at Trader Joe's like a week or so ago and this woman was there and she had her face covered. And the Trader Joe's aisles are decent size, especially compared to like a Fred Meyer. And this woman, I can only imagine, didn't want to push a cart around or something. So she was trying to carry everything in her hands. And she was successfully doing it for the most part, but definitely had more things in her hands than she should be carrying in her hands.
It's reminding me a lot of the old-fashioned meme, how do I hold all these limes?
Yeah, yeah. And she dropped what I believe was an avocado or a lime, something like that.
I hope it's a lime.
And she was, you know, probably, you know, 6 to 8 feet away. You know, we had good distance. And it dropped, and I initially had this slight flinch because I would normally just pick it up
mm-hmm.
and hand it to her. Clearly she needed a hand and I didn't. And I kind of just stepped away and I eventually said to her, I was like, I'm so sorry. Normally I would have totally picked that up and helped you out. But I just, in the words of Mike Lynch.
What did she say?
She was like, oh no, it's okay. I just felt, it just made me like, not uncomfortable, but made me just, I don't know. I would just, you know, like helping old ladies with stuff. Right. I would always do that.
I like how you said that. I just like helping old ladies with stuff. I had that happen on a run. I did the thing where I jumped into the road, and this was a place with no shoulder. I mean, it's not a busy road. I could do it. I checked. I'm not just mm-hmm. jumping in front of cars here. And the woman who was in the sidewalk said, thanks for social distancing, and then kept going. And I was like,
no problem.
I was just like, thumbs up, and like looked back at her with this weird face, like, because I had music in, and mm-hmm. I was like, what? Oh. Okay.
I will say this though, I now go to the grocery store with a bandana over my nose and mouth.
Okay.
I do it because and you know, I don't want to tell you listeners out there like what you should and shouldn't do, but
I have not been doing that.
This instance at Trader Joe's that I was talking where the woman dropped the lime, I got inside, there was, you know, I got inside and I realized as I was walking around, I was unmasked. I realized as I was walking around, a majority of the shoppers were wearing masks. Most of the employees weren't, but most of the shoppers were. So even though, you know, I practice good hygiene and have my distance, I have decided that when I go to grocery stores, I will mask up and glove up because I think it makes others around me feel more comfortable. I you know, I don't want to sound, you know, insensitive to the entire situation, but I am not at a point where I feel I need to cover for myself. But I think a lot of people are. And I don't want to make somebody uncomfortable at the grocery store. And it probably just varies from like which store you go to.
Because I have not, I mean, obviously I've seen people wearing masks, mm-hmm. but I went on Sunday, Safeway, and, you know, there were people in masks, but most people were not.
Yeah.
So I have a mask now. Mm-hmm. My parents had one in the house and they sent one to me in the mail. And
I've got a real mask too. I just haven't used it yet. Right. I'm saving that until they like lock us down.
Right. If they like require masks, mm-hmm. then okay, I have a mask. But I have it now. I got it literally today. I got it. So I can use it. I actually don't really have anything that I could have covered my mouth with anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could have worn my Timber scarf.
Yeah.
And just
yeah. I mean,
wrapped
I
it
see
around my face.
Yeah, I see tons of stuff, like, especially older people. They just kind of use whatever they got around the house.
But now I have a legitimate mask, so if I need to, I can. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a lot for the other people who are worried about it, because maybe this is wrong, but from what I've read is that the mask is more important if you have it than if you don't have it.
Right.
And there is a benefit to if you don't have it that, you know, certain droplets is the term they were using can get in that way. But it's pretty rare that that would happen. But, you know, there is a it does keep you a small percent safer than if you weren't wearing it. Yeah. But if you're sick, wearing it should be like 100% yes.
Yeah, of course. I think it's at this point we're dealing with a lot of aesthetics. And this is what I'm noticing at the pub. You know, I've had the conversation with the rest of our management team and chatted with my boss about this and stuff. And, you know, we have no problem covering our face. We don't cover our face right now. And I think it's part of that aesthetic. It's that I need to sell a product to keep this business going. And I fear that if I, as the employee, now you as the customer, you are more than welcome to mask up if you need to. But me as the employee, I feel that if I were masked, a guest would walk in and be like, oh man, that guy doesn't feel safe working here. Why should I be in here right now?
I guess that's a good point. I have not seen at any places I have gone the workers being masked.
Yeah, we rock gloves, you know, we'll do gloves. I know Deacom, like, they're always wearing gloves and their bottle cooler is right by where everything is centrally located. So the customer doesn't even touch the bottle cooler. So, you know, we've all been taking steps. You know, Milwaukee does the same thing. We've all been taking steps to try to, like, prevent it as much. But, yeah, like, I don't mask at work. I don't want people to feel unsafe walking into our place.
Right.
And that might be why the grocery store clerks aren't doing it, too.
That's possible. It is very interesting. It has kind of turned into an aesthetic thing, as well as almost like a social pressure, right? Is as this keeps going, if more and more masks are worn, me, the guy who has yet to wear the mask, I'm going to feel like S.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, and then it's going to be like, okay, all right, fine, yeah, like, I give in.
Like I said, I don't necessarily feel that I need to do it, but I'm doing it to make other people feel safe.
Right.
And I think in a crazy time like this, you know, even if it's just surface, even if it's just aesthetic, that I think we should do our best to help people out.
I realize I didn't do anything correctly, formatically, in the beginning
of this
podcast.
That's okay. We just talked about the vid for a little bit.
We did. If you want to subscribe, rate, or review the podcast, you can do so. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Radio.com, OmniStitcher, 1080TheFan.com. You can find us on social media, Instagram.com/beersonus. I'm at Mike Lynch 27 on Twitter. Patrick's at PDiddy085 on Instagram. And we post this every single Thursday around 4 o'clock,
yep,
give or take an hour or so. And, you know, I decided not to go back to Jersey this week. That was, I was supposed to be leaving tomorrow morning to go home for Passover, Jewish holiday, for those who are unaware. And it's one of my two favorite things to do every year, holiday-wise, is to go home for Thanksgiving and Passover.
Yeah, I saw some Israelites doing some stuff today in ye olde Israel.
I believe today, Wednesday, that we are recording this, is actually the first day of Passover.
I believe you are correct.
We are doing it on Saturday virtually now, my family is.
Cool.
Which will be weird, but it'll be nice to at least, you know, be on group FaceTime or whatever, the way, however we're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to do it. And but it was sad because it was this, I was really trying to wait and see if anything was going to be good enough that I could still do it.
Like wait till the 9th hour,
12th hour,
11th hour, whatever they call it.
Seeing what we're doing here in Oregon, the numbers are improving. You know, we're donating ventilators to other states. And, you know, we're going to have enough hospital beds. And what we have done as a state has been remarkable, considering we were not ground zero, but we were one of the first states to get it because Seattle was the first place to get it in our country. The fact that we've been able to limit it so well, and some of that, the numbers could be, you know, a lie because not everyone's gotten tested. But you know what I mean.
Oregon seems to be in a pretty
good spot.
It's
clear that Oregon
spot.
Is doing well. I was hopeful that, okay, that's going well. And then I look at New Jersey, which is where I'd be going. And it's like, outside of New York, it's basically the worst place to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And my hometown, Teaneck, is a hotspot. There's a lot of Orthodox Jews there, and a lot of Orthodox Jews, you know, they're in large groups.
Yeah.
They have their own rules. They don't tend to listen to the rules of other people because they have their own religious guidelines that they do.
Totally.
And for a very long time, in the very beginning, they just ignored everything about this, and they still did funerals and weddings and all that kind of stuff, and there was a huge outbreak because everyone was together.
Yeah.
And my town has a lot of Orthodox Jews in it, so my town became a hotspot. Within a day, there was 100 cases in a small 30,000 population town.
That's just wild.
Popped up in one day.
Yeah, not to mention just New York City. I mean,
right.
Just you'd probably fly into New York.
I'd fly into New Jersey. New York.
Into Jersey.
But I mean, it's close enough. It's, yeah. My hometown is a 5-minute drive from the city.
And enough people had been commuting back and forth that it might as well be an extension.
I guess so. I mean, I'm assuming that's why New Jersey has it so bad, because of how many people go to both. But yeah. So I decided not to go home, which sucks. But at least here in Oregon, it seems like things are on the up.
Yeah.
The numbers are going down. People are doing a great job of staying home and doing smart things. And that feels good.
Yeah.
That feels good that, because I know federally things are weird, and I know that state by state things are different. But maybe in Oregon, if our numbers are so good, maybe we as a state can start to loosen some of the restrictions a bit, keep the, you know, the guidelines in the state of Oregon. And maybe that means for us, sooner than for a place like Washington or New York or California,
we can get back to normal, quote unquote, or whatever the new normal looks like.
Yeah, we can do limited things, right?
Yeah.
You know, large events are still going to take a long time to come back. I still feel like it's irresponsible to have concerts and sporting events and other events where you have thousands of people there. That would be irresponsible. But if you can go to a restaurant again and you're like one of like 50 to 100 people in there, maybe that would be deemed safe.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, a larger thing. And so maybe it's a slow rollout. I'm hopeful, you know.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful because I'm bored. But I'm also, I'm hopeful because it'd be nice to know that we as a state did a good job.
Well,
it would make me proud as a new Oregonian. I'm not even a new Oregonian. I'm just an Oregonian now. It's just a fact, guys.
If you are bored, speaking of my Instagram account, at pdiddy085 on Instagram, I think starting this Thursday, which you guys will hear this, the pod will drop at 4, so you might miss it. But I think Thursdays at 7 p.m., I'm going to do like an hour-long little music show.
Oh, just on play some IG music. Live?
Yep, just go on Instagram Live and play an hour's worth of show. So if you guys want to tune into that, that'd be really fun. I'm going to do it anyway because it's basically practice and I've got all the time in the world.
And you're bored.
And I'm bored. And it's supposed to be nice on Thursday, so I'll probably do it from a patio. And we can, hopefully, if light allows it, we can watch the sunset together.
Aww.
And that would be fun.
That's very sweet and romantic.
Well, it's been like late at night for two of the last three nights or so that I was just like, I'm bored. It's 11 o'clock. I'm going to play music. And I just put up the phone and throw up Instagram Live and pretend I'm famous or something.
Maybe you will be.
Maybe I will be.
Maybe this will be
seven people watched my four songs last night.
Hey, that's better than none,
right?
To start exponentially adding that up,
what up,
couple of days you're gonna have like 12.
Oh, I was hoping for 20, but I guess 12 is more realistic.
Yeah, and then 2 weeks from now maybe you'll have 25.
Ooh.
And then who knows, maybe a famous person shares it, look at this guy doing music during coronavirus. And then you get thousands. You never know.
Yeah.
Did you see what Barstool did on social media?
No.
Big Cat, one of the Barstool guys, he does the PMT podcast, I think it's called. Pardon my take. He did a night where they were just jumping into different periscopes. He called it periscope hopping, like bar hopping. And they found this girl who was painting, and she was really good. And she like freaked out because she was like, why do I all of a sudden have 6,000 viewers? Because everyone jumped in. And now she's like become really, because everyone's still
she's
going
famous
back.
Now.
She's become famous.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool.
Get
and
it.
She's a really good artist.
That's
so
awesome.
It was pretty cool to see that. I jumped in the first day she did it and she was like, what is happening? Are you guys all bots? You're definitely bots. You're not real people.
Nobody cares. My paintings suck. In fact, I quit.
She's been like, I've been doing
she,
this.
She like, tears it up and turns it off and it was just thousands of people actually into it.
She's been like, I've been doing this for years and I've never seen these numbers, and it's like, well, cool.
Yeah,
you've been working
you.
Hard and doing it and you grinded through it, and now you're, you know, thanks to Barstool. Say what you will about Barstool, a lot of people hate it. That's cool though. It was a cool thing to see. All right, well,
are you enjoying this Freem Bright Pale Ale I brought in?
Yes. Yep. I actually really am.
It was packaged on my mama's birthday, March 19th, so 2 days after the shutdown. I'll tell you what, if I'm being honest, I've been a little disappointed in a lot of the hoppy beers I've drank since the shutdown.
You were worried about that.
Yeah. I don't know if I was necessarily worried, but it was a thought that was drifting in and out of my head. And now I would say I'm worried. I don't know what it is. I know a lot of people had to take their kegs back and put them back into tanks and then package them, which is the smartest and most, you know, efficient way to move your beer. So I'm not bagging you by any means. That's what we're all trying to do right now, is salvage all the beer we possibly can. But I'm definitely noticing a little decline in some other people's beers.
I mean,
I haven't noticed it in our beers, and I definitely don't want to sound like, oh, we're cool and y'all are a bunch of losers. That's not what I mean at all. But I drink those brands so much that I think I probably am a little numb to it. just because I'm like, oh yeah, wanderlust, I know what that is, and I'm not thinking about it. But these days I'm so excited to drink somebody else's beer than our beer, because like I'm trying to save money, you know, I'm trying not to spend money. These are crazy times and I don't know what my paychecks are going to look like week to week, so I'm trying to be smart. So I usually just drink Breakside beer, but I grabbed this, I saw it was packaged, I was like, I love my people at Freem. I ran into Dana, the former GM out there, who's a great friend of mine. It was really good to see him. So I thought, you know what? I want to grab a beer. And so I grabbed it from New Seasons, and this is really good. This is the beer I remember, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, it's delicious.
But if this was the 19th, this probably wasn't any kegs pushed back into a tank. This was probably the normal batch they brewed
to
be packaged.
True. That's, yeah, you're probably 100% right.
Yeah. Either way, this beer is awesome. I love this beer.
It reminds me that I forgot to talk about weekend beer as well.
That's okay.
I apologize for the weirdness of this, of the formatics of this as a host of the podcast. I feel weird about it.
I'll tell you what, Mike. You're usually really good at it.
Yeah.
So we'll let this one
thank
slide.
You. You know what I'm going to call this
did
episode?
Did you say stank you?
No, I didn't.
I thought you said stank you.
No, I did
what,
not.
Is this Outcast?
No, it's not. I was going to say, I'm just going to call this episode Two Guys Talking.
Two Guys Talking About Stank. Stank you very much.
Stank you. And I think we can make this a little mini series. If there's ever a week that we're just kind of like, there's not really a lot going on, we're just two guys talking.
Sure.
I'm just at the bar.
Yeah.
Drinking some beer.
I mean, it is kind of like a bar. I mean, I feel like I'm sitting at a bar.
Yeah.
I'm in like an uncomfortable chair, lean forward.
Microphone in your face.
Sucking my gut in.
Yeah. Talking nonstop and not drinking that much of the beer because you have to talk constantly. Right.
Ask the bartender to put on a sporting event that I'm not watching. Hey, could you please put on the Mariner game? Thanks. And then you turn in the complete opposite direction and talk to your buddy.
Yeah. And then you look up and go, oh, I forgot to watch that game. Tab, please.
Yeah. Can I close out? I got to get out of here.
Yeah. Guy's like, yep.
Who's watching this game anyway?
Oh, look, the Mariners are losing again. Shocking. This weekend, I did my usual New Seasons couple of beers that I get for Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to the old reliable that I got last week in the Wander Export Stout, which was delightful.
I love it. I love that you went back to the well on that.
I got the Belching Beaver Mexican Peanut Butter Milk Stout, which was delightful.
That sounds intriguing.
It was better than the regular peanut butter stout.
Really?
It was.
Because I really like the regular peanut. I mean, for a peanut butter milk stout, it is kind of what it is, but I always dug it.
It just added depth of flavor because it was still the base, but you got the kind of spicy Mexican chocolatey kind of flair that you get in those kind of stouts. And then I got two IPAs. I got Sticky Hands, which I have not had in a while. And then I got, I forget the name of it because it was a strange name, but Ex Novo released a Hazy and a West Coast IPA in similar cans that had different color schemes. And I got the West Coast IPA. It was really good.
Yeah.
Like really, really, really good.
Yeah, we were talking about this before the podcast started. I think I had that not too long ago, too. And now I'm intrigued and want to look it up to see what it was called. Because I really enjoyed it, too.
The name is almost like a phrase or something. It was like...
Well, that's kind of what all their stuff is now these days, I feel. You know, they've got like... like a lot of their hazies and IPA one-offs. Yeah, or like phrases or they're like quotes from movies, stuff like that.
Yeah. But I like the can a lot. It was almost, I'm not really sure the right way to describe it. It was just like a cool pattern of like diamond on diamond, kind of like, you know, how when you were like in a notebook in school and you would just kind of draw shapes together and attach all the triangles and stuff in the corner. It kind of just felt like that across the can, and it was a different color than the hazy, but it was really good. And I really, 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 really enjoyed it. I'm trying to think. It was just a good bitter West Coast IPA. It didn't have a lot of flavors that have been kind of creeping into some of the more West Coast IPAs we've been seeing the last year or two. It was just a classic, bitter, hoppy, crisp, good mouthfeel IPA. I quite enjoyed it.
Is and always was?
Yes.
That's yep, what it was. That's the one that I had.
That's what it was. Very good. Very, very good.
Well, nice.
Yeah. That was my weekend beer.
Maybe I'm just being curmudgeon. Maybe I need to give a little more patience, a little more try some stuff.
Well, we're in weird times.
Yeah, I suppose so. My weekend beer consists of, I had this Freem Bright Pale Ale, and I had some of what will be the beer of the week, which I'm really excited because I was shocked. I never thought I would be able to ever do this in my entire life. So I got that, which we'll get to at Beer of the Week. That was exciting.
He still hasn't told me what it is, and what he just said made me more intrigued than I already was.
Don't outthink the room. It's straightforward.
Okay.
It's just something that, anyway, we'll get to it at Beer of the Week. And outside of that, yeah, man, just a lot of Breakside beer. I'll tell you what, I don't want to drink Cuddle Puddle anymore. we did run out of crowlers. We ran out of cans.
Wow.
Yep.
How do you deal with that?
We ordered some a couple weeks ago, and they said 5 to 6 weeks. So we're probably looking at three weeks out from now.
So what do you do?
Just fill in growlers.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, I know. It slowed the draft beer down. I wouldn't say drastically, but it's definitely noticeable. Package sales are up. So, I mean, we're still selling beer. It's not like people are coming in. They're like, you don't have crowlers? Pfft, I knew this brewery's overrated. I'm out of here. So, no, we're not running anything like that. But
well, if I was coming in there, you guys don't have crowlers? Bye!
But it's tricky, you know, and there's just a national shortage of cans. Like, everybody realized, oh, man, let's just crowler everything we have, and then they're gone.
Well, hopefully it's sooner than you think.
But I've been drinking Bazooka Face still. Still digging that beer.
There you go. You won't be in a little while, though.
I know.
All right, let's get into this really intriguing beer of the week. I'm excited about it.
Oh, okay.
And I want to discover what it is that you're talking about. You said you never thought you'd be able to bring this beer on the podcast.
Yep. I never thought I would be able to... Yes. I don't want to ruin anything.
Okay. I have like two ideas in my head of what it could be. So we'll find out next. That was two guys talking. We'll do that every once in a while. You know, hey, sometimes the creative juices, they're not flowing that well.
Stank you very much.
You're stanking. Okay.
Yeah.
Beer of the week is next. Beer of the week time here on Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. And let me tell you, folks and folkettes, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, the beer that we have for Beer of the Week is never canned.
I've never seen this beer packaged in my entire life. It could have been, and I don't know. This beer's also been made for the last like 25 years, so I'm not sure.
The beer that we have in front of us is a famous Oregon beer. It is a classic OG Oregon beer and or brewery.
I would say it's on the Mount Rushmore of IPAs. I know I just spoiled the touch there, but I would say it is on the Mount Rushmore of IPAs for the state of Oregon.
Now, you see what we're doing is we're doing the slow burn tease, so you giving a little bit away is okay because we're getting to it, but yep. Now I'm stalling because I want you guys to really, really think about what we're doing here. And I'm just going to... You know, it's a black can. There's green letters on it.
And stands out really great.
There's white letters on it. It's a 7% ABV, 70 IBU. Their address is 2200 Main Street.
There is a loading equipment on it.
Yeah, there's a government warning on the side of the can.
A UPC sticker.
Yeah, 12 fluid ounces. The brewery rhymes with Schmarly Schmrounds. And we're drinking Pallet Jack IPA.
Yeah, this is so rad. My homeboy, my good buddy Todd, hit me up and let me know that they got, I think they only got like a case of this.
I saw this on Instagram this week, and I didn't connect the dots that I don't normally see it canned.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh yeah, Pallet Jack, cool. And then you brought it in, and I was like, oh, that's right. This is only ever on tap.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. He let me know that they might have got one or two cases or however it was, but it was moving. And I asked for a six-pack, and I got this six-pack. I saved two for my girlfriend because she has never had Pallet Jack.
What?
So I figured I'd save a couple cans for her. Not that I know when I'm going to get them to her because we're social distancing and all that stuff. But
you could do like a weird like car drive-by, right? Just like throw them out the side of the window. Catch!
But baby, I saved these for you because I love you. I grabbed the six pack and I drank two of them, and I kept two on.
Shows a lot of restraint, sir.
I know. Kept two, especially because I ran out of beer last night in the fridge. It was either barrel aged sours or drink my girlfriend/podcast's Pallet Jack. And I was like, ooh, yeah, I'm drunk enough to go to bed. I don't need any beer. Show you self restraint. So I saved two for the lady and I saved two for the podcast, and I had two myself. And I was just really excited. I mean, I would say Pallet Jack, Boneyard.
RPM,
you know, those two beers are just staples. They're dive bar staples.
Yeah.
You know?
I see RPM way more than Pallet Jack. Yeah. But
Yes.
I would love it if Wanderlust or Breakside IPA could get that. And actually, you know, we sell about as much as these guys do of these beers. But these
beers, it's not viewed in the same way.
Right, but these beers are so famous. They're so famous. Tyler Brown has been making this beer for 20-plus years. It's won at GABF multiple times. It's just, it's such a legendary beer. I can't emphasize this enough. The can is super sexy. It's straightforward. I mean, they never package their beer, but in a time like this, you know, I'm sure they rely on some tourism out there in Baker City. You know, the Wallawas aren't far away, and you cruise through on your way to Boise or on your way to Portland from Boise or whatever off 84. So they probably had to, you know, think outside of what they normally do, and they decided to package this. And if anybody at Barley Browns is listening to this, please continue to do this. We want it. Even if it's only in small amounts and you can't send a ton to us, even if a place like Cerveza is only getting a case, that's fine. First come, first serve, baby. And I will jump on that. I don't know.
With
I just
a little
got
insider
really,
trading, of
yeah,
course.
I just got really excited. You know, if Boneyard six-packed RPM, I'd buy a six-pack. I would 100 without hesitation buy a six-pack.
Yeah. No, I agree. Again, that's one of those, when you brought it up originally, I was like, oh yeah, you get those packaged. No, you don't.
No.
Boneyard doesn't package anything.
No, they package CBD cola.
Yeah, that's it. Really?
Yeah, which is super weird.
Well.
It's like, that's what you're going to package?
Well
no. No Hoppa Wheelie, no Suge Knight.
Maybe it's doing well for them, I don't know.
No Notorious, nothing?
No.
Okay.
I like how you labeled all those. And no RPM, the most popular beer you have.
Diablo Rojo.
Ooh, I love that
one. Yeah, people
too.
Love that beer.
That's a really good beer.
There was this, what is it? It's like got an ape in its name. Skunk Ape. It's like a hoppy red. I enjoy that. At least I did in the
stank
past.
Stank
you.
Yeah, Stank Ape.
I haven't.
Stank Ape.
I haven't had that beer in a long time, but I did really enjoy that.
Now, the thing with Pallet Jack for me personally is I didn't have Pallet Jack until I think we started this podcast.
Weren't a big IPA drinker before we started this
podcast. I was not, and I didn't frequent places that had very large, expansive tap lists. I frequented places that had...
Well, this is a dive bar special.
Very typical tap lists. And
oh, so you mean like things like Blue Moon, Mirror Pond,
yeah. I mean, like I would go to a place, and if they...
Wimmer Hef.
Yeah, if they had more than that, it was great, but it was still limited. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So the first time I had this, it was either with you or it was with a buddy. I went to... I'm not going to remember the name of the bar... It's the tap room that's based on the Great Lebowski.
Big Lagrowski.
Big Lagrowski. I went there and they had Pallet Jack on. And
oh,
I got
they
it
always
there.
Have Pallet Jack.
Yeah.
That's like their house IPA.
Okay, well, I had it there and it was, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I've heard of this beer. I remember Patrick talking about it a lot. That might have been my first time having mm-hmm. it. But since then, I've had it plenty of times. It's been kind of up and down for me. It kind of changes.
Yeah.
Maybe it's my mood. Maybe it's the beer being slightly different. But this right now, this is what I want.
Yep.
This is 100% what I want. Sometimes it's a little bit maltier than this, which is fine for me because I like malt. But mm-hmm. this, if I'm drinking a West Coast IPA, I'm getting it right here. Well, and it does have more of like that darker color to West Coast mm-hmm. IPA too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think that's what happens when you've been around for a long time and you continue to make these beers, you know, things like, you know, I've been to the old location. And then a couple summers ago, I went to the new location of Boneyard, and I was so excited. It was like there were all these beers on draft that I'd never had before. So I got a sampler tray, you know, of a bunch of different stuff. But with that sampler tray, I also ordered a pint of RPM. And I told some friends that. I was like, well, they were like, what was the first thing you ordered? And I was like, an RPM. They were like, what? You drink that all the time. And I was like, no. I drink that all the time on dirty dive bar lines. I have no idea what this beer tastes like, fresh and clean and crisp. And that's what I feel the same way about Pallet Jack. It's such a staple in the IPA world. It's in Point Blank's book. So, you know, they're going to push it easy, no problem. But I don't know the quality. How old is the keg? Has it been sitting out warm?
So you think it's more inconsistent because of that versus because of the beer?
I do. I very do. I think like all breweries, there can be some inconsistencies in your core brands just because of for a thousand different reasons. But I think one of the biggest factors in why classic mass-produced IPAs taste bad some places is just poor draft maintenance. And I would say this beer in RPM falls into that category the most. Now I'm starting to think, though, what else would hit the Mount Rushmore of IPAs in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, I was, as you said that, I was thinking, and I was like, what else do you see?
Could you say just hoppy beers in general?
No, no.
You need to say IPAs? So Mirror Pond doesn't hit that list.
No. If you're talking, you know, Mount Rushmore of beers, then sure. I mean, maybe put Black Butte Porter over that you're picking that. But
yeah, I probably would pick Black Butte over.
I mean, that's their flagship.
If you had a Mount Rushmore of all styles, of Oregon styles. Yeah. Okay.
And I think that might knock like Pallet Jack off, because then you're adding up like the Hef would, of course, be on there.
Yeah, Widmer Hef would be on there for sure.
But no, if you're just going IPAs, sure, Pallet Jack, RPM, and you gotta pick two others. It's tough.
It is really tough. I mean, I'm clearly super biased, so I'm going to say Breakside IPA.
Mm-hmm.
I would take that over Wanderlust, just in terms of IPA for the Rushmore.
Okay.
It's a little more decorated on the grand scheme of things. Oh, I don't know, man. A fourth one? I mean, let's walk through the breweries here.
I was going to say Frame IPA.
Frame IPA could be up there, but they're really young.
I'm saying that's fairly
they're
new.
They're young in the grand scheme of things. I mean, Breakside's only 10 years old. That's young in the scheme of somebody like Barley Browns. I mean, I wonder if something
Dead
like...
Dead Guy would be on the other one, by the way.
Yeah, Dead Guy probably would be on the other one. Oh, wow. So yeah, Black Butte Porter, Widmer, Hefeweizen, Dead Guy, and Ruby?
Probably.
McMiniman's Ruby?
Probably. Yeah.
And that's what I keep thinking. I keep thinking, is there like a McMiniman's IPA... But not really, because they have the Hammerhead, the Pale.
I was trying to remember what it was called, yeah.
I can't remember either. But they always do the one-offs. So now there are some one-offs that they do consistently at multiple places. Wow.
Is there an obvious one that we're forgetting?
There's got to be. There's got to be one I'm just not thinking
of. Well, I'm also thinking some of the classics have closed now, too. Right? Like maybe you would have put Bridgeport's IPA up there just for being a staple.
Yeah.
But it's gone.
Right. And that beer hasn't been what it is for 10 plus years. Like, this still tastes good.
Right.
You know, RPM's still a quality beer.
Right. They hadn't actually, as far as I remember, they hadn't really changed the recipe of that beer, but it just didn't hold up over time.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know, dude. Full Sail, you know, you got to start thinking about older breweries like Full Sail.
You get a little Session IPA in there or something.
Oh, I got it.
What?
Total Domination.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It could fall into the Bridgeport category.
What about Apocalypse?
10 Barrel's not old enough.
Not old enough?
No.
I'm going to do a little mini research here.
And now that I think about it, man, I don't think Breakside's old enough.
Well, that's why I was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I'm still with just Pallet Jack and Boneyard. I don't think Boneyard is that much older either. I don't know the actual history of how old Boneyard is, but RPM 100% makes Mount Rushmore. Let's keep this in mind. Mount Rushmore, the four presidents that are on Mount Rushmore are not the four greatest presidents, okay? They are just four of the most impactful presidents, correct?
Yes.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abe, and Teddy Roosevelt. Yes. People are like, Teddy Roosevelt? I'm like, yeah, he founded the National Parks Department. You know all those places you like to go to all the time? Yeah, that's him. He can be on Mount Rushmore. But, you know, I like JFK. We could argue that FDR is the greatest. Some people really like Ronald Reagan. I really like Barack Obama. You know, things like that. There are a lot of great presidents out there, but these are the four. So it's not that Pallet Jack is better than, you know, Culmination Phaedrus, or, you know, Pallet Jack is better than, you know, Ex Novo Elliott or things like that. But like these are the staples. These are the guys that have completely changed and dominated kind of the scene.
All right. So I'm looking here. I'm scrolling.
Is Fort George Vortex on that? What about Pelican IPA?
Well, I was going to say Vortex
Pelican
is one.
Pelican IPA. They've been around forever.
Gigantic IPA? That's probably too young, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the length of Gigantic.
Yeah, so I'm just looking here.
I like this Pelican call.
So we got
that.
I'm just looking here. 10 Barrel Apocalypse, which we mentioned.
Right.
There's Boneyard. There's Breakside IPA. Deschutes Fresh Squeezed, that's too new in terms
of
their IPAs.
Too new, yeah.
Vortex, I think you got to put Vortex on there, to be honest with you.
I think I would take Pelican Well, Pelican hasn't had like a consistent IPA.
They don't have one.
They
that's
bounce
like,
around. Like they make different brands and retire brands.
Yeah. I mean, you could say, what is it?
Because Silver Spot, I believe, was the old one that I remember having
Beat
as
Breaker
a kid.
Or whatever it's called now.
Beat Breaker's newer, yeah.
I mean, I also think Total Domination.
I think it's, yeah.
So it's going to be RPM, Pallet Jack, Ducasse Total Dom.
And then the four is the George Teddy Roosevelt. Is the Teddy Roosevelt?
I mean, I still think you could probably slide Vortex in there because that you see Vortex everywhere.
True,
especially in cans.
True,
and a lot of people like it because of the super high IBU. It's right. Like almost 100 IBUs.
Well, and it's like 7.6 too.
Yeah. So is that it?
Maybe the fourth can be like it's like your Ringo. You know, not a lot of people like Ringo. Some people really like Ringo. I tend to be a person that really likes Ringo.
Do you want
to
slide a little? A little left hand in there and say Double Mountain IRA.
Ooh, I mean, it's not a bad read. I think that fourth spot, I think those three are firmly solidified in there. Total Dom, Pallet Jack, RPM. Even though I'd rather drink a Pallet Jack and an RPM over a Total Dom these days, I just find that beer way too malty. I think that fourth spot, you can fill whatever you want. Fort George Vortex, you could go IRA, Double Mountain. I mean, hell, Vaporizer from Double Mountain or Hop Lava. Hop Lava was an awesome beer for a long time, although I don't think they make that anymore.
But the IRA
is
there.
You could throw Breakside IPA in there.
IRA is their beer, though, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not an IPA, but you know.
Right, right.
But you know.
I know, but then. But
creative license.
Mirapon's not an IPA.
True.
And Mirapon would make that list before IRA.
But Mirapon's not as hoppy anymore anyway.
It's still a pale ale.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, let us know. What would be your fourth beer? Let us know. Instagram.com/beersonus.
Or let us know if you think any of these are wrong. There's got to be somebody we're missing.
Yeah, we did this last time when we were talking about like the brewery looks and what was weird and interesting, and we forgot McMinimins for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So if we're just forgetting something, let us know. But Instagram.com.
I do not want to hear Bridgeport IPA. I don't want to hear that.
Instagram.com/beersonus. Send us beers that are existing IPAs that can be on the Mount Rushmore.
That have been around for a while.
Yes.
Like I said, you can't just be like, oh, you know, this brewery makes great IPAs, so they will let me pick the most famous one.
No,
it's got to be something that's been around for a long time.
Something that's been around for a while that you can find almost anywhere in terms of on the tap lines or in cans or whatever. So it's got to be popular, around for a while, and famous enough to be on the Rushmore.
Here's one of the great ways to describe it. Go find a 65-year-old white man and ask him, what IPA do you drink?
And he says, IPA, Coors Light.
No. Every time I run into older generation men that drink IPAs, it's like the same five grocery store stuff.
Right.
That like a Total Domination or a Bridgeport IPA, things like that. But yeah, so I just want to know. Well, I'm real firm on Pallet Jack and Boneyard. I'm not even real firm on Total Dom.
You should be, though.
Just because the beer, I think, has drifted away from what contemporary drinkers want in an IPA, where I think RPM and Pallet Jack have evolved over the years.
Well, Thomas Jefferson owned Slaved, and he's still on there, so.
Okay, wow. Wow.
I mean, he drifted, that's drifting away from what
well,
is currently.
Well, Abe Lincoln was a Republican.
Whoa! Stank, man. All right. That's going to do it for us today. Again, send us DMs on Instagram.com/beersonus if we're missing any obvious ones or if you think we're giant idiots. That's okay. We are giant idiots, but we talk like we're not because we have microphones in front of us.
Because they let us.
Hopefully you enjoyed two guys talking, and we'll do this, you know, intermittently throughout the next, I don't know, probably for the life of the podcast, just because sometimes all you got to do is talk in front of the microphone and drink some beer. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Hopefully you guys are still being able to get beer you need and want out there, and hopefully you're supporting local and doing the smart things like that. And hopefully you're doing okay at home.
Yep.
And you're surviving this. Stay healthy. And try your best to stay interested in the things you're doing. Because, hell, a lot of negative mental issue stuff can stem from things like this.
So 100%.
Try your best to stay positive. Try your best to do things that are normal to you, even at home. And keep moving forward. We'll get out of this together. We'll see you next week, every Thursday around 4 o'clock. And hopefully you guys will be there.
And Thursdays at 7 p.m., live music from yours truly at PDD085 on Instagram. Join the fun. Traces.
Yeah.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.